Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Psalm 37:30. Would you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. God is good to all of us. We're privileged to be here. We have the wonderful opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, we spend a few moments in prayer just before we begin our scripture reading and our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours now to focus our minds upon your wonderful word. We realize that life is filled with many various experiences. Sometimes we face difficulties and problems and burdens. Other times we face prosperity and advance. We pray that you will help us to understand that you have a wonderful plan for our lives. We pray that we'll be able to advance on a day-by-day basis, grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, and understand that you have a magnificent and wonderful plan for us. We thank you for the opportunity now to study. Pray that you'll bless us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 down through 12. And then I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. So, if you will, please, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're reading our verses down to verse 12, which is our verse for today. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2, verse 3, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Ephesians 2, 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, now verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to now turn to Genesis chapter 12. When you go to Genesis chapter 12, what you find is the beginning of the emphasis on the Abrahamic covenant. I'm going to be putting some information on the screen for you to see in relationship to Genesis 12 and the Abrahamic covenant. Most of us remember the timeline. I'll repeat what I said in the session previous to this one, and that is there's the emphasis upon the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel. There's the interrupted time known as the time of the hypostatic union, when the Lord Jesus Christ became the God-man, God in the flesh. This emphasizes the fact that deity too left heaven's glory and came to the earth as the God-man. And that's the period of time that we have Jesus Christ on the earth in the flesh for those 30 years. And you remember that he came for the purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. The Bible is a magnificent book that presents the plan of salvation. We see it over and over again, time and time and time again. What we have, and we come to the book of Genesis, in chapter 12, we have the beginning of that period of time known as the Age of Israel. We are aware of the fact that the Age of Israel begins with a man by the name of Abram, who became Abraham. We referred to him a little bit in the first session today. There are so many things that could be said. What we want to do is to give you in this session a quick overview of the Abrahamic covenant. As you'll see on the screen, it was presented to us in Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to follow me as I read these verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relative, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And to you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When I summarize the presentation of the Abrahamic covenant, I jotted myself a little note, and I put down, first of all, Isaac's father, Abraham. Then I emphasize Isaac, and then I emphasize Isaac's application of that Abrahamic covenant. I'm not going to go into all of this, but I do want to give you today a little information in relationship to the Abrahamic covenant. You can see that we have presented us in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And this Abrahamic covenant is repeated several times throughout the Old Testament. It was God's plan for Abraham to be the father of a new race. And there had to be maturity and capacity before this promise could be fulfilled. You remember that at the close of the last session, we talked about the fact that there were 13 silent years in between two chapters, and we looked at those for just a little bit today. If you remember, we looked at Genesis chapter 16, and then we went over to Genesis chapter 17, and we reminded you that between those two chapters, we have 13 silent years. You'll see that what I put here is that the Abrahamic covenant shows us God's plan for this man, Abraham, to be the father of a new race. And there had to be, on his part, spiritual advance and spiritual capacity before that promise could be fulfilled. And we all understand what took place in the life of Abraham and Sarah in the coming of this little baby Isaac. On the screen I have for you Hebrews chapter 6, 13, Hebrews chapter 6, 15, and Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. I'm going to read verse 6 of chapter 17 first, which is chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17, verse 6, which says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. Now, if you will, please, let's go to the book of Hebrews, and I want you to see the verses that we have on the screen for you. First of all, let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, We emphasized this verse in the previous session, but we look at it again. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. I have it in the wrong chapter here, but I'm going to find it. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, which says, "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no other greater, he swore by himself." You remember that we read that verse to you in the session this morning. If you'll also look at verse 15, "And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise." Now, what we have to see is that when you look at the Abrahamic covenant, you want to be sure that you have what we would classify as a definition for the covenant and also a description. So on the screen I have for you now, definition and description. Number one, the covenant is between God and Abraham. This covenant is between God and Abraham. It's important for you to be aware of the fact that this is what is known as an unconditional covenant. Unconditional meaning that there were no strings attached. There is no merit on the part of mankind. It was a just covenant. I believe that I need to reiterate that statement time and time again. The covenant is between God on the one hand and Abraham on the other hand. It is an unconditional covenant. The word unconditional means that there were no strings attached. There is no merit on the part of mankind. It was a just covenant. Number two, it was made by God in favor of this man, Abraham. It's important for us to be able to see that we're defining and describing the Abrahamic covenant. This covenant is between God and Abraham. No strings attached. It was made by God on the one hand, in favor of Abraham on the other hand. Like all covenants, number three, it was a part of a divine plan, which we call the eternal plan of God, E-P-O-G, the eternal plan of God. Like all covenants, it was a part of the divine plan, eternal plan of God. Number four, Abraham was to be the beneficiary without merit. Abraham and his descendants then have this covenant, not based upon their goodness, but totally based upon God's grace. What we have to see is Abraham, in those 13 silent years between chapter 16 and chapter 17, which we emphasized at a great length in the first session, during that period of time, we discover that Abraham gained spiritual momentum. He advanced to what we would classify as the high road of grace. And upon doing this, he was in what we classify as the zone of pleasure to God. That was the reason why we referred today to James 2:23, where he was called a friend, a philos, a friend of God. I want to reiterate this for a few moments because it's powerful to be able to see it. What happened is between chapter 16 and chapter 17, and I would encourage you to read again chapter 13, which we read today, and then move into chapter 17, which we understand that during that period of time, there were 13 silent years. During that period of time, 13 silent years, something took place in the life of this man, Abraham, and I believe that he gained spiritual momentum. I believe that he came to a point where he could be the recipient of God's great blessings. We understand that he did become the recipient of God's blessings. This is manifested by the thing that took place in relationship to circumcision, in relationship to the coming of a little baby boy. So he gained spiritual momentum. He advanced to the high road of grace. And during this time, we would classify this as Abram getting to the point of being in the zone of pleasure to God, called a friend of God. If you'll see now that we go to Roman numeral 2, which is the original declaration of the Abrahamic covenant. I've already read to you today these verses in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through and 3. I will not reread those, but I want you to see what I've presented to you here on the screen. We have in those verses 1, 2, and 3 the original declaration of the Abrahamic covenant. If you'll look carefully, you will discover that in verse 1, it deals with the point of separation. In verse 2, it deals with the point of blessing. And verse 3, it deals with a lot of miscellaneous subjects. We're not going to get into all this right now, but I want you to see that if you reiterate just briefly, you will discover that in the A part of 3, there's a blessing by association. In the B part, there's an emphasis upon anti-Semitism. And in the C part, we have an emphasis upon the messianic blessings. I'm not going to reiterate all of that. I just want you to see that I'm trying to summarize very briefly the Abrahamic covenant. Roman numeral 3. This covenant also has what we classify as a real estate clause. We call it a land clause. And it is depicted for us in Genesis 13, 14, 15, 16, and in Genesis 15, 18 to 21. We're not emphasizing this in detail now, but if you're taking an outline, I would like for you to emphasize that this covenant also has a real estate, a land clause. It's depicted in Genesis 13, 14, 15, and 16, and in Genesis 15, 18 to 21. Roman numeral 4, under this covenant, God promised Abraham a city. And you find that when you go all the way over to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 2, and then 10, and in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. I need to ask you a question. I'll let you answer it not out loud, but if I should mention again Hebrews chapter 11, what is it that happens in your mind? I believe that what happens in your mind as a student of the Word of God, that when I mention Hebrews chapter 11, you'll say in your thinking, that is the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. If you will sometime go through that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and you will discover that there's an emphasis there in relationship to Abraham, and is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. Number 5, the Abrahamic covenant was confirmed also to Isaac. And I have to tell you that I look at my outline, and this is a fun outline that I have. Isaac's father, Abraham. And then I put down, Abraham had received a specific promise in Genesis 15, 16, and 17 that he would have a son from his own loins. Now, you remember what happened to Hagar and Ishmael and all that. We probably remember that. I read it this morning. Abraham came to a conclusion based on facts that this actually would be done without his or Sarah's help. Now, most of you remember that this is a miracle child indeed. Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. So I put in my notes, Abraham and Sarah were marvelously changed in old age. And at 190, 100 on the part of one, 90 on the part of the other, a son was born, and the little boy's name was Isaac. All of you probably remember that there was laughter in the tent, and there was a question asked about that laughter. And when the little baby came on the scene, he was named Isaac, and the word Isaac means laughter. Most of you already knew that, didn't you? So when Isaac was a young man, Abraham was instructed to take him and offer him for a burnt offering. Most of you remember that. It's found in Genesis chapter 22. What I'm trying to do is to give you a quick rundown of all the various events in relationship to Abraham and Isaac and the Abrahamic covenant. This was a test to the spiritual food which Abraham had in his soul. We're constantly being tested, if you haven't already thought about this, we're constantly being tested to the amount of spiritual food we have in our souls. Whatever is happening in your life and mine, we're constantly being able to see that there are various things that come our way that actually test to see how we're going to fare in relationship to the utilization of the spiritual fuel that has been placed there over the years. And so we discover then that when Isaac was a young man, Abraham was instructed to take him, offer him for a burnt offering in Genesis chapter 22. And this was the test to the spiritual food which Abraham had in his soul. The test was, are the blessings more important than the one who gave him? In other words, we have to analyze, are the blessings more important to us, or are we properly related to the one who gives the blessings, and we have greater appreciation for the one who does the blessing? Now let me move on to Roman numeral 5. The Abrahamic covenant was also confirmed to Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. If you're taking the outline, you'll enjoy going back and looking at these various verses. So Roman numeral 6, this Abrahamic covenant was confirmed to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, in Genesis chapter 35. Now let's look at this very briefly. Under this covenant, God promised Abraham a city, Revelation 21. The Abrahamic covenant was confirmed to Isaac, Genesis 26. This Abrahamic covenant was confirmed to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, in Genesis chapter 35. This covenant was also confirmed at the time of the Exodus in Exodus 6, 2 through 8. The very basis for the deliverance of the Jews was this covenant. What's amazing to me is to be able to see how often there is a repetition of the Abrahamic covenant. 600 years later, this seed of Abraham was being blessed because of his attachment and relationship to God. Roman number 8. In Abraham's life, as in ours today, God's plan made ample provision for every step of advancement, but left the choice of subordination to Abraham. What I want you to see here is I thought about this, that you and I must be able to conclude that God has a magnificent plan for us, and that He makes ample provision for each of the situations that come our way. But we have to understand that it's left to us to make a decision on a moment-by-moment basis of whether or not we're going to be subordinated to the power and influence of God and the power of God. A specific aspect of the promise to Abraham was sexual prosperity, along with wealth and promotion and success and so forth. Some of you are saying, probably, preacher, what you ought to do right now is to get into a discussion on those specific aspects of the promise of Abraham and those magnificent prosperity evidences. We're not going to do that. I just want to remind you, though, that the Scripture actually presents magnificently how God blessed Abraham in all these various ways. Most of us are aware of the fact of the sexual prosperity in relationship to this little baby that was born. The fulfillment of this promise was not realized in Abraham's life until he was 99 years old, Genesis 17. He persisted in spite of many difficulties. He came close to the grace of life, oftentimes, and slipped back, and then would advance again. Is this not a picture of you and me? There are times when we advance and we are close to God and God's promises, and we utilize those promises, and then we find ourselves falling back because of our old sinful nature. That's what happened to this man, Abraham. We discover that he persisted in spite of many difficulties. He came close all along the way to this magnificent grace life, and then he slipped back. Then he would advance again. But when we go to Hebrews 6:15, he came to a point where he did not give up. He persisted, and he received the blessing. I don't need to keep you any longer. I need to let you know and remind myself of the fact that it pays off to stay with God's plan. It certainly manifested beautifully in the life of Abraham. Circumcision is the ritual of confirmation and acknowledgement of the Abrahamic covenant. Circumcision, as we have not gone into it in detail, but we are having it printed and we're going to be giving it to you. Circumcision was a memorial to the grace of God, and Abraham is still a tremendous influence in your life and mine, even at this very present moment. It is amazing to see how beautiful God's plan is. What we were able to see in Abraham's life was that there were times when he advanced. There were times when he went into reverse and backed up some. But he realized that that was not the way to go. And he continued over a period of time. And in a proper relationship to God, God blessed him tremendously. I put in my notes here, Isaac. Abraham and Sarah laughed about having a child in their old age. And God said, Sarah, your wife shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, or laughter. I put in my notes, Isaac's birth was in 2061 B.C. 40 years later, a servant found Isaac a wife in 2021 B.C. 20 years after this, Isaac and Rebekah had twins, Jacob and Esau. Now, when I mention that, perhaps some things come to your forefront of your mind. Esau was delivered first, but with Jacob, the heel catcher, trying to be the first. Esau was hairy. Isaac was favorite. Jacob was hairless. Rebekah's favorite. I'm just giving you a quick outline. It's funny. Very different individuals. One was a picture of regeneration, and the other was a picture of non-regeneration. Jacob was a believer. Esau was an unbeliever, presented to us in Romans chapter 9. Isaac was a weak person who became strong in facing a test of deception. It was spiritual maturity that made it possible for Isaac to make right decisions and to see from God's vantage point. Isaac understood the elder-younger relationship of Genesis 25, because there we read that the scripture says, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy womb. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Isaac knew and understood this truth. And then when you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, it reveals that Isaac blessed Jacob in the covenant, and Esau out of the covenant. And then I put down number 3, Isaac's application of the Abrahamic covenant. It was apparent to Isaac that lost Esau could not inherit or perpetuate the principles of the Abrahamic covenant. As much as Isaac loved Esau, he knew that the unbeliever was excluded from the Abrahamic covenant. We have Jacob, a Jew, Esau, a Gentile. How can this be true with the same mother and the same father? The answer, they do not have the same Lord. One is born again, the other is not. I think we ought to print this and give it to you also. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to do this review. We realize that there is so much for us to learn. We're thankful for the fact that we have been able to see what it takes for a believer to advance and to stay with God's plan, even in the midst of difficulties and burdens and trials and tests. We are able to see in this man's life the ability to move forward and be the recipient of great, magnificent, wonderful spiritual blessings. We thank you for each person here today. Help us to realize that you have a plan for us. And that plan is magnificent and wonderful. We have the responsibility of walking in proper relationship to our Savior each day. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you, one and all.